All right. Hello. Welcome to the Fuck the Algorithm podcast. My name is Chase Parker. I am the co-founder of FTA Collective, and I am here joined with Nathan Kroll, who is the founder of FTA Collective. And we're here to just, you know, talk, sit down, talk about some stuff in the film and post-production industry, talk about like what we do, because this is episode one. And yeah, Nate, you got anything to say?
So this podcast is really gonna be just me and Chase sitting down, just kind of geeking out for a while and talking about the movie industry and movies in general, VFX, things like that. But also what I really want to do with these first bit of episodes that we do for this podcast is really kind of introduce ourselves, and just talk about what FTA is, the company that we're going to be launching start of next year, and the services that we want to provide and the projects that we're working on, and just kind of start going into all of that over the next couple episodes. So yeah, if that sounds like anything you're into, be sure to
you're in the right place.
But yeah, to start off, you want to do the clips or you want to talk about something real quick?
Yeah, let's do the clips. So we had this idea. It was inspired by Matthew Lillard. I'll let Nate talk about that because he knows more about it than I do. But it was our idea is to like introduce new guests, ourselves, and everything. We're just gonna show a movie clip from like our favorite movie, explain what it means to us, and like just kind of go that little icebreaker. And yeah.
So pretty much, I was watching a podcast the other day, and it was a Without a Paddle reunion, which if you haven't seen that movie, it's a great comedy that came out in like 2003 or something like that. Fantastic movie. It's really great. They do not make movies like that anymore, especially in the comedy world. That's just, it's a dead genre almost of that kind of movie. But anyways, they were doing this big reunion thing, and Matthew Lillard was talking about stuff that he does for his birthday, and he likes to like play games and stuff. And
we love
he
Matthew
talked about
Lillard.
This one thing that like really, sorry, there was a motorcycle out there. he was talked about this thing that he called coffee and clips, and essentially, like everyone would gather together, enjoy some coffee, and each person would bring a clip in. And they would all sit down, watch it together, and then that person, the only requirement is that they have to explain, like, what that scene means to them. And it could mean, like, anything. Like, oh, it's just, I love this scene because of this reason. It means it's, you know, one of the first movies I ever saw, what have you. But then that just kind of, like, using that as, like, an icebreaker and an introduction, I just thought that whole concept was so cool. So I kind of stole the idea from him a little bit.
I mean, to be,
but
yeah,
it was just, it's such a cool idea.
It is a really cool idea. I thought it was great.
Like to have people on the podcast, and like whenever we introduce someone to the podcast or anything like that, I just seeing what people bring in and see what that clip can mean to someone, like that's very interesting to me. So yeah, that's one of the things I wanted to do for this. So, yeah I'm going to start by showing my clip, and I'm going to pull it up here. So the clip that I chose is actually from a movie that I haven't seen in quite some time, to be quite frank with you. I've watched this movie once way back in the day. Haven't seen it quite since. But the movie's called Contact, and it's a movie with Jodie Foster and Charlie Sheen.
It is a great movie.
Wonderful movie. Expand that out.
Dad, there's another one. Hurry up. 10 minutes, Clark. Oh, there's another one. Come on, hurry up, Dad. Dad?
One thing I really do love about this scene is the sound design. Like, they really put a focus in on just what the audience is hearing. Like, yeah. you hear the crash from outside.
I have then... I have something, when the clip is over, I have something I actually want to mention about sound design. Daddy?
And, like, even right here, everything is so quiet. I mean, this is...
Get the medicine.
Such a crazy shot, dude.
It's insane. I love that shot so much. That's the And then the slow zoom in.
Dude, right?
You think the shot's over, but oh, no, no, no. They got one more hit for you. Boom. End it like that. Fade to white. I'm sorry. There's just a beautiful marriage of sound design, editing, and cinematography and VFX in that one clip. It's just a bit, like, it. Honestly, I could not imagine that pacing being any better, the edit being switched around. Like, there really was, like,
it is a very great shot. And to do that in a one-er too is kind of insane. And by one-er, I mean it's like a no visible cuts. If you want to watch a good one-er, watch is it 1917? Oof.
Is that the, yeah.
I think it's 1917.
Year it was? I think that is. I think they've also since then released like 14 other movies that were like 1947,
19. Yeah, right. But like, 1917.
Okay, which one's which?
1917 is a fantastic one-er. Also, the God of War games, if you're into video games. I'm just saying, I'm a sucker for one-ers. I love one-ers so much. So, like, doing that kind of stuff in a one-er is really fantastic to me.
Yeah.
But yeah, so you mentioned sound design. I wanted to bring up something that I thought was like really interesting. I forget which director it is. I want to say it's Tarantino. I don't know, but there is some, of the, like the big, like top, like 10 directors that, you know, like most everybody knows. And it is he said that if you can't watch a movie with the video off and only hear it, you don't have a movie. Like, if you can't tell the story by just the audio, you don't have a movie. And I thought that was, like, a really interesting take. Okay, to be totally honest, I kind of disagree with it. Because there's, we'll probably go up against Denis Villeneuve later. But Denis is, like, really good at his like, almost no dialogue, just, like, emotion and, like, in setting. So I kind of disagree with it. But I think it is an interesting point to talk about. Is that sound design in movies is incredibly important. Incredibly important. I cannot stress that enough. Like, I think that, like, sound design is one of the most important aspects of making a movie. I don't think it's the whole shebang, but, like, I wanted to bring that up when you brought up sound design.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's really, it's one of the cogs in the machine, right?
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
One of the pieces that bring the entire thing together. And when you do have those scenes where, like, you almost kind of forget how much sound design, like, when it's taken out, you know it's like, whoa, this is a different experience.
Yeah, right.
When it's on, when it's in there, you kind of almost forget that sound design's even happening.
Yeah.
Right?
Perfect example. Watch any horror movie with the sound off. It won't be scary anymore.
No, that is absolutely 100% facts, though.
Yeah.
You watch it with no audio and no sound. Like, yeah, it's not going to be scary.
Yeah.
But to kind of take it back to this clip on Contact, the reason why I chose this clip and why I wanted to show it was mainly because, like, it's not even like a favorite movie of mine, but that shot in particular was definitely kind of like one of my introductions into seeing VFX be a magic trick.
Yeah.
You know, like that shot in itself, like really, you know, you don't even think about the effects
Yeah,
when you think of
exactly.
that
And that's
shot.
what I think, like,
Yeah, it's.
is, yeah. That's what I think is, like, really great about VFX is, like, it is a magic trick. Whoa, look what I can do. Did you notice that? I did. Or in some cases, you didn't, and that's the magic. Like, some of the best VFX goes unnoticed.
Absolutely. There is a ton of the effects that go unnoticed, but that's also the
Perfect
job of
example,
the
Top Gun
VFX.
Maverick.
Yes. Oh man. There's a lot.
If you think that movie has no VFX in it, you are sorely mistaken. By the like, how many VFX artists worked on that movie? Like 400.
It's ridiculous. A
Like, but
ridiculous amount.
the VFX are amazing. You just don't notice it.
Yeah, and it's but also that's almost a testament to the artist that worked on it, because it's so good that like you wouldn't even notice. You know, you're just kind of like, oh yeah, okay, that's a thing. They filmed that, cool. You just kind of accept it and you forget that, like, oh no, there's still way more VFX going on. But that's also the job of, especially a movie like Top Gun Maverick or anything like that. That's kind of the job. You want to hide
You want it to be
any rigging
realistic.
that's going on. You want it, you're going for that realism,
Yeah,
you know?
exactly. But then there's shots like in Contact to bring it back to bring back what you showed, where it's like you can that's physically impossible for that to happen, but it was really fucking cool. Like, so, and it looked fantastic. So then there's like that kind of magic trick where it's like it's visible, but it was so masterfully done that you're just kind of like, oh shit, what the fuck? Like, that was sick.
And it's also it's so masterfully put together, because like what you think is VFX, it took me a long time to understand how that shot was constructed. Like, it really broke my brain of like, how in the world did they do that? And that was just really cool. To me personally, there hasn't been too many movies that have done that in recent years. There have been, but not a lot.
It's definitely,
My
yeah.
but
It's definitely gone
to
down.
be quite frank with you, the last time I had that kind of reaction to something, and it still kind of scratches my head, was when I went and saw Dune 2 in theaters.
Such a fantastic movie.
And you know specifically what part it was too? It wasn't even that like big of a part, which is why it blew me away. It was in the beginning part where everything's orange and they're trying to find the Fremen,
Dude.
and they just flow up off the sand up the mountain. My jaw was on the floor. I
Dude.
genuinely was like, how did you do that?
Dude, the Dune movies, like in a lot of different areas, VFX, storytelling. Okay, first of all, I've read all of the Dune books. It is 100% easily, without a question, favorite book series ever. If you haven't read them, I totally recommend them like 100 times. But there's the storytelling. Denis Villeneuve, one of my favorite directors, especially when it comes to sci-fi. Love him so freaking much. Like
He's a god.
everything I have seen
He's a
from
god.
him is like my favorite thing ever. But like just he knows how to make a movie. Like he just knows how to like I don't even know what to say, dude. Like he's just so like
He knows how to tell
genius.
a story.
Yeah,
He
exactly. And then like
really
what you just said with like I know exactly what scene, just the way they float up. It's like it's not even that impressive of a shot, to be honest. It's just like,
No,
but it was
but
so
it
perfect.
had me going like, how the hell did you do that?
It was
Like
so
I
perfect.
like there are things like where I can start breaking down of like, okay, how did they actually shoot this? What VFX are they using to kind of like cover up rigging, things like that? And like I can kind of like I know like a rough idea, but there are certain shots where I'm like, it like you You make me in disbelief. Like, I don't know
Ha
actually
have
how
you
you pulled that off.
watched for either Dune Part 1 or Part 2, have you seen the behind the scenes?
No,
I
I
you
specifically have
should.
actually been waiting because I'm trying to get the Blu-ray versions of both of those movies, and
Oh,
I'm kind of waiting to get all the behind the scenes and actually watch it. So
Okay,
I really want to watch it.
when you do, you should. It will blow your mind. It is pretty
Yeah.
Denis is such an intelligent filmmaker. Like, it is kind of amazing. Or not kind of amazing, it is amazing. Like,
It's kind
that
of
guy is
amazing
a
how good it is.
seriously, like, cinematic genius. Like,
He's a he, and I will say to me personally, once he did Dune 2, he straight up hit like God status.
dude,
Like
Dune
Dune
2 is.
2, from start to finish, he went God mode.
Yeah. Dune
Like he
2
did
is
not stop
my.
firing.
Dune 2 is the best movie of 2024. You can't tell me otherwise. And it is probably one of my favorite movies of all time now. Like, to be totally
It's
honest.
yeah. His sci-fi is just so fucking good,
He
and you
just
can
knows
see all of
sci-fi.
the influences from Christopher Nolan. Don't argue with me. I know, like he is straight up influenced by Christopher
He's
Nolan. I
sci-fi Christopher
look,
Nolan.
yeah.
He's sci-fi Christopher Nolan. If fucking Denis quote exactly cool sci-fi shit, if Christopher Nolan wasn't so obsessed with time warping and stuff like that, he would be and like if Christopher Nolan instead of time warping was into sci-fi, you would have Denis Villeneuve. I 100% agree with that.
Yeah,
However,
I can't
I
argue
will
with
say
that.
one thing. I love Christopher Nolan. You know this. I'm like he's like one of my biggest influences when I try to like tell my stories and stuff like that. However, I will say Denis' movies are a lot easier to follow, in my personal opinion.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of Arrival, for example.
Oh.
That movie, it was one of the few movies of that sort of genre and idea that I knew exactly what was going on the entire time.
Yeah,
And I can't
that is
say,
totally
and as
fair.
much as I love Nolan, I can't say that in a lot of stuff. Like Tenet, for example, like that movie was so good,
I
but
love
so
Tenet. That I
confusing.
love Tenet. Look, I know people will probably shit on that movie and not understand
I
it,
thought it was
but
fantastic. It was just I had to watch it like four times
yeah,
before I
it's
like understood
like
what's going
I
on.
think I watched that movie 3 times in theaters.
Yeah,
Like,
no. I did too. Like
it was so good.
I watched it like a couple of different times in theaters, and it wasn't until like the last time I watched it when I was like, oh, okay, I understand now.
Yeah,
But then it still drew me back. It was still like a good enough movie that it was like I subconsciously knew what was going on, but like yeah.
I love that movie. The
It's
only
such a
thing I
great
don't
movie.
like about that movie is sometimes the audio is kind of fucked. I ain't gonna lie, there are definitely sometimes where like certain
Yeah.
dialogue like is so low. I'm like, what did you just say?
Yeah, like especially in the first
What?
like there's like this one
Can you turn off
scene.
the volume a
There's
little
like this one
bit?
scene in the first like 20 minutes of the movie where they're like talking about like the weird like time warp thing, and I'm like, I can't what? Like, what are you
Yeah,
saying?
but
Like I
also you do have to understand that movie did go through COVID hell, COVID
Oh,
production
that's right.
hell,
It came out during COVID. I
and
forgot about that.
all the sound design had to be done like from home. If I could be wrong about that, don't quote me on that. But I'm pretty sure they had to do a lot of the like sound stuff like
I wouldn't be
using
surprised.
these headphones.
Yeah.
So to be fair, yeah, kind of makes sense. But I still that movie to me is a vibe. I love the style of it. Like it's great.
It's very
To
Nolan.
me it's super enjoyable. You don't have to think too hard. I think that movie is better when you don't think too hard about it and just accept it. Accept the rules that Nolan is throwing at you
Yeah.
and just go with it.
Honestly, that's kind of like
It's a
any Nolan
fantastic movie.
movie. Like Memento, for example. Like, once you accept the fact that this movie is just going back in time, like, it's a fucking fantastic movie. I love Memento.
And So I know we're kind of doing these intros and watching these clips. I'm going to get to your clip, speaking back in time.
Right.
But
it's fine. We're having fun.
with the introduction, let me also do state. My name is Nathan Kroll. Quick little like background history.
Oh yeah.
Me and Chase, we haven't even touched that yet, bro.
We're like what, so, 20 minutes in.
Oh god.
No, I think we're like, I think we're like 15 minutes. I think it's like 10-15 minutes. I think 20 minutes is an overstatement. I started recording at like at like 9:55. All right, anyway.
Okay, not too bad. Anyways, my name is Nathan Kroll. I am the founder of FTA, and yeah, I am honestly just a big movie nerd and VFX nerd. I've been to film school, never finished because finances are a thing, and film
Gotta
school is
that.
Really expensive. So
I love that.
Dropped out, but I've quite literally just been self-taught since then for years. I've been teaching myself. I started teaching myself Blender roughly at this point going on 13 years, 14 years now. Something like that. I could be a little bit wrong on my math. I'm not good at math, just FYI.
Time is relative.
but yeah, I've been teaching myself Blender for quite a while. Gotten really good at that, and I've just when I was in film school, back when I was in film school at least, there definitely wasn't a lot of classes or anything you could take for VFX.
There
and
still VFX isn't where one. I go to school.
Yeah, there's really not. So I was always super interested in VFX, and just being the nerd I am and being ADHD and deep diving in my free time of learning how VFX is done, I just knew VFX really well. Mm-hmm. So over time, I just understood the like core concepts of VFX and shit like that.
Yeah.
So yeah. And then in more recent times, I've started taking some classes, learning the ropes of Unreal Engine, and did a wonderful class, had a wonderful teacher. Dude's a legend.
From what you've told me, yeah.
He is an absolute legend. I'm generally actually blanking on his name right now. It is too early in the morning right now.
For context, we are recording this podcast, and both of us just woke up like 30 minutes ago, so.
yeah. And fun fact, neither one of us sleeps that great.
We're
normally, what, 4 hours
asleep? Oh, wait, no, I haven't. Yeah, something like that. I've not been up since 4 a.m. I did wake up at 4 a.m., and then I fell back asleep because I woke
Me
up
too.
30 minutes ago. Hey!
Legit, I was up for like an hour at like 4 o'clock this morning. It's like, why am I awake right
yeah,
now?
Yeah, dude, it's shit stuff. But yeah,
anyway, so just to do a little more background, I met Chase in the last couple months.
Yeah, April.
How long have you been working there?
April. Okay. April. Food
so
service.
We recently became friends, and the main reason why, we both work in the restaurant industry, and he got hired at where I'm working right now. And yeah, it didn't take long for us to like really become friends. Like,
didn't really, yeah, really, it was like kind of random that we just kind of knew all of the same things and were interested in the same things. I think it was Corridor Digital. If you are listening to this and don't know what Corridor is, I'm gonna ask you to pause this, go like watch a Corridor video, and then come back, because that's like,
yeah,
that's like kind of how like we like kind of like figured out that we were like into the same stuff, is that YouTube channel. Yeah. So
well, I mean, arguably that's also, Corridor is kind of what's taught me so much about VFX.
Oh, 100%.
Like, if you have been following Corridor for the past, how many years have they been around now?
It's been a while.
10 or 15 years.
I've been watching them since I was like, I don't know, like 12. So
yeah,
it's been a while.
I've been watching them since before Corridor actually became a thing. I remember Sam and Nico.
Oh, the Sam and Nico channel.
on the Sam and Nico channel, and
I remember the Sam and Nico
helping
channel.
Out on Rocket Jump.
That's right. That's right. So, I forgot about that.
Yeah, I mean, they, God, way back in the day when DSLR like filmmaking was like really popping off.
Yeah.
They had a whole video on the Sam and Nico channel called "Shoot Your Friends," and they like went into in-depth filmmaking techniques for shooting on DSLR.
Yeah.
To basically mimic log footage.
Oh, what a trip.
How to turn the contrast down, make your highlights a little bit down, your shadows a little bit down, to kind of almost fake log footage, to be honest with you.
Whoa, that's crazy, actually.
Yeah, that I was really back in the day. If you know that, you're old. but yeah, so basically me and Chase became friends. I knew immediately we were gonna be friends because we started talking about movies, and I very quickly came to the realization that me and you are pretty much like have the same taste in like movies and shit. Yep. And then we very quickly realized, oh, you know VFX. And that was an absolute game changer. I personally haven't been able, like, I don't hang around too many people that I can speak VFX with, if that makes sense.
Lot of people, especially like just people in the food industry, for example, like know VFX. Like you kind of have to be in VFX to know VFX. And honestly, I think that's kind of one of the things that like we, this is kind of a good like kind of segue, but like it's with FTA, one of the things that we want to do is educate people, because a lot of people want to go into the film industry. Like so many people want to go into the film industry, but not a lot of people understand how VFX, editing, sound design, all that kind of stuff works. So that's kind of what we want to do with FTA, is kind of like educate all areas of film on all areas of film. And yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And we also want to help those that are already in the industry, you know, doing their thing. There are a lot of filmmakers out there, small-time content creators, indie filmmakers, what have you, that, you know, are out there doing their thing, making incredible stories, but like they don't know VFX. That's not to any of like, I don't want to down talk anyone. Like, how dare you not know VFX? Because that's not the approach at all. But I want to be able to help people. So when they are, you know, say you have a director who's making a new short film or a new feature film, whatever, and he needs to have some VFX in it. If he doesn't know how to shoot for VFX, he's going to get crappy results. You know,
for sure.
Like it's not going to go easy. He's gonna have to spend a lot of money getting what he wanted, and doing a lot of work on the post production side of stuff, and it just turns into an absolute headache.
Yeah.
But what I would love to do is to work with people, provide services to them, but also be able to help educate them. Like, okay, you know, when you're out in production and you're, you know, on set filming, here's what you got to do. This is, you know, obviously this is what we do, but to understand that process can absolutely make you such a stronger filmmaker. In my opinion.
100%. 100%.
That's like one thing when I went to film school, like, you know, cause you know, I wanted to be a director, and, I just was always compelled by VFX. Like, I wanted to know how to do that. And there's so many people who just don't, that's not their realm, you know? They don't understand that. That's not, their brain doesn't work that way. They're just like, they don't even know how to edit. Like, editing is not for them. And that's totally fine. Like, that's one thing. If that's not your area, it's not your area.
Like, yeah.
Plain and simple.
Yeah.
But being able to educate people on that and help in that, I think that's a service that me and you can absolutely provide.
Yeah, 100%.
Starting out.
Yeah. And then before we go any further with that too, I'll go ahead and like introduce myself. My name is Chase Parker. I am currently in film school. And to be honest, never really was I wanting to be a VFX artist, to be totally real. I always grew up wanting to be either a script writer or a director, and that's still actually what I want to do. Is I love script writing and I love directing. However, I very early on, so most of my knowledge comes from YouTube. So that's kind of why I my contribution to FTA is I really want to give back that educational thing because I learned everything from YouTube. So I want to teach on YouTube, pretty much. But like, anyway, yeah, so I quickly learned by watching YouTube and stuff that if I wanted to have a cool sci-fi movie or something, I would kind of have to understand VFX. So I kind of went down that rabbit hole. I started learning Blender when I was in middle school. So that would have been about like, 9 or 10 years ago. Yeah, 9 or 10 years ago, I would have started learning Blender and I just started going down the rabbit hole, started going into Unreal Engine, After Effects and all that kind of stuff. We'll talk about this later. Don't use After Effects. But anyway, so yeah, I never actually wanted to be a VFX artist, but I learned that as a director, it is very, very important that you know how VFX works. But yeah, I brought in a clip today too. It's from Back to the Future. We'll go ahead and play that and then we'll get on with the rest of the podcast, like what we're talking about and what FTA is.
Absolutely. Let me go and get this started. This should work.
So correct. When this baby hits 88 miles per hour, you're gonna see some serious shit.
Oh god. Imagine having a remote controlled DeLorean.
Integrate anything. The molecular structure of both Einstein and the car are completely intact.
Where the hell are they?
The appropriate question is, when the hell are they? You see, Einstein has just become the world's first time traveler.
I've watched this in a billion times. I've never watched the flames go out behind them.
That's pretty cool.
1 minute into the future to be
But yeah, so anyway, that is that's my clip that I brought in. My reason, this movie is very important to me. I think I watched it for the first time when I was like 7 or 8, and this movie was the movie that was like, I want to make a movie. I grew up watching like Star Wars. That's like one of my favorite thing ever. And I like just watching movies and movies and movies. And then I saw Back to the Future. It was the time, it was the line. It's not where are they, it's when are they. And that was oh my God, you can tell any story you want. Like it doesn't, like the setting can be anything. So I was like, so that movie, I knew right then and there is like, I want to write and make a movie. Literally every single weekend until I was about 13 years old, I would go out with my friends I had this Samsung camcorder that I found in my closet, and I would just film a video. I would edit it on freaking like iMovie or like Windows Movie Maker and just post it on YouTube. Yeah. Don't go looking for that. But they were so bad. But it was like, it was from this movie that I was like, okay, I need to be making movies. Like, this is what I need to be doing. I have to. And then as soon as I started getting into you know, wanting to make more like ambitious movies and stuff like that. It was when I was about like 12, 13, got to middle school, and I started getting into VFX. And now, like, after that, now we're here. I met Nate. We're talking about making VFX, making movies, making short films. And I'm just like, yeah, it's pretty cool.
Heck yeah. So no, yeah, I'm on that note, I'm getting really excited for like all the projects that we are working on.
Yeah.
Me and Chase both are working on several projects right now. Big and small tutorials. Working with a friend of mine, Steven, on doing a short film that he filmed a couple months ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been editing that. I helped him produce that.
That'll be technically the first official FTA project.
Yeah. Yeah. That we're planning on having that done and ready to release when basically start of next year. Sometime. Still not sure on exact like release dates and stuff like that. But we're working on that right now, actually. As of right now, as of this recording, we are waiting for music to be done for the project. And
super
then
cool.
When I get that back, I can start doing all my finishing touches on it. But yeah, that's a full short film too. That's 40-minute long short film.
Yeah.
Like, and that's a beefy boy.
Yeah, and the original way, like FTA actually, like, so Nate had the idea for FTA like a little bit before he met me. But the way we went to this is that I had written a short film like a year ago that I I had written a short film that I like pitched to him, and we were like, okay, yeah, let's do it. And then we kind of came to the realization, how are we going to get this out there and have people like see it? And then that's when Nate was kind of just like, oh, I had this idea for a company. And I was like, say less, I'm in, let's do it. So yeah, that's kind of how we're here.
Yeah, no, that's legit. That's pretty much how it worked. I came up with the idea of FTA more so as like a company / brand, whatever have you. And it was just an idea I came up with because I really wanted to be able to, like, you know, help people out, help younger creators, content creators, indie filmmakers. Just because I know the knowledge that I have, I know how much of a VFX nerd I am, and like even editing this short film and everything, I'm like, oh, I have knowledge that I can give to people.
Yeah.
And help out in ways that like I know I can help out.
Yeah.
And I just really felt like there is a place for that. And
yeah.
Yeah. What I came up with the idea of, I want to say maybe like a month before we met.
Uh-huh.
But I kind of shelved the idea because, to be frank, like, it was just a lot of work for one person, and I just, like doing all the research and just figuring out, like, okay, how am I going to go about this, and how am I going to do this? I was like, yo, I can't do this by myself.
and then I appeared.
Then quite literally, you appeared, and then, we got to talking, you know, got to know each other, and, then, yeah, Chase was like, yo, I'm gung-ho, let's go for it. And I was like, okay, dope.
Sweet.
Let's do it.
And, were you going to say something else?
No, go for it.
Oh, okay, I was going to say, and, like, another thing, too, is we've been talking a lot about education, because that is something that we, like, one of our main focus is, like, you know, giving knowledge. But the other thing that we're talking about too and wanting to implement is when our website launches in 2025, we want to have a sort of service. So, like, say for example, you are a filmmaker, you have like a cool camera, but you don't have a decent way to edit, or you don't know what you're doing, and you know, you don't want to learn from scratch or whatever. We got you. Like, that's kind of like one of the things that we want. We want to help you out. So if you want, like, if we're available or something, like, you can have us edit or do VFX for your short film or movie or whatever. Like, we are there to help you. So that's like another thing, is obviously we want to give out that knowledge so that you can do it yourself. And like, you know, Because there is like that sort of like a joy factor and being like, hey, like, hey, mom, look what I made. But like, if you don't have like access to that kind of stuff, we are totally there to help you out. On the note of accessibility, though, we are trying to make our tutorials and educational stuff as accessible as possible. So like, for example, the video that I'm working on that will be releasing in the first month of 2025 is a in-depth Blender camera tracking tutorial, which will be using only free software, a laptop, and an iPhone. So like, that is another big thing, is we want to bring creativity to the creatives and show you how you can be creative with any limitations you may have. So yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's so Chase has been working on some tutorials and stuff, and he's been killing it. I've seen a little bit of the tutorial, and really freaking dope.
Thanks.
Speaking on the projects that I'm working on right now, so obviously I'm working on this short film and doing all that, which that was a heck of a process. So the videos I'm making is actually more into like a behind the scenes talking about the short film and the production of the short film. To be frank, there might be several videos about this, maybe like three or four, just because there's several different things to talk about. But yeah, I'm going to be sitting down with my friend Steven and just talking about the whole production side of it, because it was a journey, and there's a lot of really cool things that like I personally learned. Like with this short film, I fully went into a brand new program I had never used before and essentially taught myself how to use that program editing the short film.
And what was that program?
Oh, that wonderful program that I love so much and nearly convinced you to completely switch over. That would be the wonderful program known as DaVinci Resolve.
Yes! I fucking love DaVinci Resolve.
It's so good. I also feel really bad because I definitely influenced Chase to fully quit Adobe.
We can talk about that. I want Nate to finish, but like, that's what I was hinting at when I said don't use After Effects.
Yeah. So anyways, that was a full process of even like moving from a new editing program to a different editing program.
Uh-huh.
But
what were you using before?
So before that, like, I learned how to originally edit. Like, I've used several editing softwares.
Uh-huh.
But originally, like, the main thing I learned to edit on was Premiere Pro.
Premiere Pro. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. But I've used Avid before. I've used all your, like, really small iMovie, Windows Movie Maker, Sony Vegas. I don't know if you remember that one from back in the day.
That was the first, like, actual editing program that I used.
Yeah, I've been there. I've used that. So I've used a fair amount. Avid was awful. Avid Media Composer, if you know what that is an actual legit editing program that's used for major movie productions in Hollywood. It's been used for fucking ages. It's been around for probably since Dirt. like, it's old. But it's the craziest editing program, and I don't want to knock on it because I do see power in it, and like I understand why a lot of Hollywood productions use it. It wasn't for me though. I hated that program.
Yeah.
Actually, funny enough, this book right here that's holding up my monitor is my Avid Media Composer book from my first year of college.
No way. That's actually crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's got CDs in it and everything. No. No, I take it back. The one underneath, this one, is the Avid Media Composer. This one on top is Premiere Pro for CS5.
What the shit?
I'm old, guys, okay? Chase is still a kid. I'm old. I'm really not that old. I'm actually only 31. I think that's right. I think I'm 31. I'm 30 or 31. I don't know.
One of the two. Doesn't counting. Really matter. Time is relative.
Facts. But, dude, honestly, yeah. Once you hit a certain age, like, once you get past 21 and hit, like, 25, like, you stop counting.
Yeah.
Let's be real. You stop counting. You're like, there's nothing else for you.
Yeah.
You're 21, your drinking age.
Yeah, after you're 21, you're just in your 20s. You're not.
Yeah, you're just, oh, how old are you? I'm in my 20s.
Yeah,
and then you get to your 30s and you're like, I don't know anymore, man.
It's like, what's my age again? Blink-182 reference for you guys. Anyway, but yeah, so I actually do kind of want to talk about that a little bit, the DaVinci Resolve thing. So I grew up using Adobe because I was like, I had this big aspirations that I was going to be a big shot. And I was like, oh, industry standard, After Effects, Premiere Pro, Photoshop. Photoshop is still great, by the way. I still use Photoshop. I don't want to, but I do still use Photoshop. But yeah, Nate and I first started talking about like visual effects and editing, he told me about DaVinci Resolve. And I had known about DaVinci Resolve, like, and I was like, whatever. But I was like, oh yeah, like I use Premiere Pro. And then he told me that Adobe sucks. And then I was like, what do you mean? And then I looked into it and Adobe fucking sucks. I like, there was like, I don't know, like 14 people working on After Effects, and they like also,
I think that's less than that, dog.
Really?
I think Shit. It's only like 4 people.
Ugh, fucking hell, dude. So anyway, like
generally, I think it's yeah. down to like only 4 people,
and they're all it. Underpaid. I could be wrong.
Don't quote me on that. Anyone that's want to quote me and talk shit, I don't know. It may be 14 people. I just know that team is incredibly fucking small for how big of an industry standard that application is.
And so yeah, and like there's Adobe is now a kind of money guzzler. I got a free trial. Emphasis, free trial. Of Adobe Stock, and they won't let me cancel it without paying $200. My free trial. By did I mention that this was a free trial? So anyway, right. Like Adobe sucks. And then I was really scared. And then I ended up dabbling into DaVinci Resolve, and I uninstalled Premiere Pro that day. Like that's it. I like Premiere Pro is not on my hard drive anymore. Like so like I do still have,
you're still paying for it though.
Yeah, I'm still fuck everything, dude. Like I am still paying for Premiere Pro and After Effects, and I do have After Effects still downloaded. I can't remember the last time I've opened it, but it's still there because DaVinci Resolve has this fantastic thing called Fusion, which is a built-in compositor. You don't have to jump between fucking like this and that. And sure, Fusion's a little limited compared to After Effects, but it's still fucking fantastic. Don't yeah. let the freaking like, don't let the program be what limits you. Let the creativity be what limits you. You know what I mean? Or like, yeah. or sorry, don't let the creativity limit you. Or you know what I'm trying to say? like. I'm just trying to make a point here. Like after you don't yeah. need the craziest software. You need what will get no. the job done. And in my experience, Fusion is perfectly fine at that. You'll see in my tutorials or whatever, I'm using Fusion to completely composite my camera tracking 3D object to live footage video. It's going to look totally fine and real. Like it's Man, not a actually, limited
I didn't know you were using Fusion for that.
Of course I'm using Fusion for that. What else would I use? I'm not using After Effects.
I don't know why. In my head I did not even like think that you were using that for
nope reason. I'm going to be that's doing cool. it 100% in free software, so well, that's the other thing, it's free.
Yeah, there is now, don't get me wrong, there is a studio paid version
which we both paid for DaVinci
Resolve. With which we honestly, here's the thing. All
it's
right,
worth
so
it. It's
in
worth
my
it.
Experience. This is I'm gonna have a video going into my whole experience about DaVinci Resolve because I did with this short film. I had never used DaVinci Resolve before, uh-huh. never in my life. But I was really interested, and the main thing that drew me to it was because it was free. There was a free version. And I was like, okay, let's see how free it is. How much can you actually do using the free software? Because, you know, an application could be free, but then be super limited and you're not able to use the full extent of the program.
Yeah, right.
And it's just like, okay, yeah, you can do a couple things, but, you know, you're really going to have to pay for it. And quite literally, just using the free version of DaVinci Resolve, you have everything, like, you kind of need to get started.
Yeah. And
as far as, like, doing an edit.
Honestly, and then some, too. Like...
And then some. And, like, I mean, even the whole color page on DaVinci Resolve was an absolute game changer. Like, that, I have never seen a more thorough and perfectly placed, like, color...
You want to actually know something really funny? While I was using, before I like completely switched to DaVinci Resolve, I was still color grading in DaVinci Resolve. I was just editing in Premiere Pro.
Yeah.
Like,
because I mean, I look, it's been a while since I've used Premiere Pro, but I don't remember Premiere Pro having anything to that level.
So Lumetri Color
control you have over a grid.
Yeah, Lumetri Color, the or whatever they call their color engine in Premiere Pro, it is actually a really good color grader. It's not DaVinci Resolve though. DaVinci Resolve, the layer base. Or the node-based color grading makes everything for each individual clip too. You have to do layers in Premiere Pro, and honestly, I've learned that I love node-based way more than I love layer-based. It's
absolutely
it's a lot. In my opinion, it's a lot easier to use. It's a lot more organized. It gets less confusing, and I just DaVinci Resolve all the way.
No. Yeah, no, I'm absolutely 100% for it. And then I ended up paying for DaVinci Resolve, and that's another thing that fully convinced me to go DaVinci Resolve is the fact that it's a one-time buy full license.
Yeah,
and you pay what, $200 for it, $250 something like that.
Yeah, I think it, it is one-time payment. It is $300 for a one-time payment. That is and you're not paying is it like $50 a month for the student version of Premiere Pro?
No way. Is it really $50 now?
They like just just upped the price. It's kind of insane.
Oh God. That's actually kind of disgusting.
It's remember when Adobe used to be the innovators? And they were like the cool, like affordable, let's check this out. Yeah, no, fuck you guys.
Yeah. There's actually a wonderful video if you want to know, kind of see into the history of Adobe and stuff like that and their backstory and all of that, there's this YouTuber named Jazza. He's an artist. He does, like, art stuff, particularly with drawing and shit like that. Uh-huh. But he made an entire video called The Rise and Fall of Adobe. And he's really just going in depth and just like a whole backstory of like how they became such big things in the creative industry. Because that's the thing, when it comes to filmmaking, like Adobe After Effects and Premiere Pro are industry standard tools for the entertainment business. When it comes to
I think After Effects just got
YouTube, stuff like that.
I think After Effects just got overshadowed by Nuke. Like, I'm pretty sure most VFX studios are using Nuke now.
Well, I mean, they're accepting Blender more and more with each studio.
Dude, I was actually, that was a point I was going to bring up later, is that I haven't even, like, heard of Maya recently. Like, I mean, okay, let me rephrase that. Like, so obviously I've heard of Maya, but, like, I have not heard it mentioned in a very long time.
It's still a thing. There are, like, a couple... I will say, like, small back-end kind of things that, like, it's, to me, it's going to be more preference, right? If you learn Maya or if you learn Blender, what's the difference between the two? Yada, yada, yada. There will be very slight differences between the two. Someone way smarter than me could probably actually tell you what that is. I don't, I just, there's only like a couple differences, but at the end of the day, they're both
very powerful
terminology. DCC programs, digital content creation programs.
Yeah.
So Blender has become way more acceptable in studios because it's one, free. Two, you can pretty much do anything that you want
to
do.
I have only good experiences with Blender. I have only good things to say. Yeah. I've been using it for
years.
Well,
it's only gotten better over time. That's the thing. Blender is now coming to a forefront where it can compete with Maya.
I forget.
There for a long time, Maya was the only thing. But besides, what's the other one? 3DS.
Yeah, 3DS Max. But,
3DS Max, thank you.
Yeah.
I was thinking Nintendo 3DS, and I was like...
It is 3DS Max. Yeah.
3DS Max. But, again, with those softwares, it's probably changed over time. But, back in the day, there weren't tutorials for that shit.
That's the thing, too, is it's, Blender is very, widely documented on YouTube, and it's really easy to find almost exactly what you need. Blender is it's a fantastic program, man. And the note of it being free, I can't remember who the CEO is, but I saw a GDC game developers conference or something like that, where he was granted he does live in Switzerland or something, or Sweden, but he was saying he just doesn't really care for money that much. He doesn't want he's basically doing what we're doing at FTA is he wants to bring creativity to the creatives for free. And that's kind of what our mission is. It's not really even inspired by him, but it is a similar mission. We want to bring creativity to the creatives with what they have and whatever. Obviously we will probably eventually get into some more paid software and more money based stuff, but that's just the world we live in. But in terms of we want to make this as accessible as possible for creatives. I don't think we brought it up, but we obviously, as any founders of a company would, we have big plans for the future, just kind of way down the line. But we want to expand into graphic design, fashion design, music, and all that stuff. If you are in something creative, we want FTA to be FTA Collective to be a place that you can go to either to learn. You can, again, work with us, and we will help you out personally, not just tell you what to do. If you hire us, we will go on the computer and do some of the work with you.
Absolutely. Actually, on that note, because we've somehow gone this entire time and haven't even started explaining this yet. Let's talk about the whole reason of calling it FTA.
Oh yeah,
fuck the algorithm.
That's because we haven't. We're also that yet. This is also the Fuck the Algorithm podcast.
So the idea behind it was really kind of just I came up with the idea of calling it FTA Collective, specifically wanting to call the company FTA Collective. FTA stands for Fuck the Algorithm. The reason I wanted to go about and use that as kind of the forefront is because I really want that to kind of be the mentality behind this collective group of individuals. Mm-hmm. Obviously we have big plans, but I want to, and the aspirations that I have for this company is I want to build a team that, people can come to us or whatever, and we can do our own content, but also people could come to us and we have an entire team. We got, people in many different areas.
Yeah.
Right? And it's really that collective mentality of fuck the algorithm. And there was really a time, and I still feel this way. That's not to say I don't feel this way anymore, but last year, ish, there was a time where I really just kind of felt like I was like, you can't make original content anymore.
Yeah.
You have to really kind of feel like getting pressured into following trends, picking up IPs, things like that, using stuff that's already established. You can't do original stories anymore.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a lot to go with that of, you know, the algorithm to me is the death of original content. Because it, as an artist, to feel like you can only do, like, you can't do original content, you can't tell the stories that you want to tell, you have to, you know, do a spin on something that's already been done, or or, you know, make a remake or whatever have you. Like, and don't get me wrong, I like remakes. You know, Dune is a remake.
It's definitely
not to downplay any of that.
Yeah,
but the very good case in point is I sent Chase a post from a YouTuber. I think it was like a last week or something like that. Maybe
I think it was this week.
Was it?
I think it was. I think it was on. It was on Friday.
Oh damn. It was pretty soon. But anyway, it's a pretty big creator, a YouTuber that's been on YouTube for quite some time. I want to say 10 years or so. No, actually longer than that. Probably 15 years. He's been doing YouTube for a minute. But he has something like 1.5 million subscribers.
Yeah, it's like 1.05, 1.5 or something like that.
Yeah. So a little, let's say a little over a million. You know, that's a good amount of subscribers.
Yeah.
Good amount of people. And he's done a TV show. There's a TV show called Final Space that did like 4 seasons, I believe, on TV. And was successful. Don't get me wrong, there was definitely a lot of ups and downs with that, of like it almost got canceled, then it came back, and then only got back for 1 season. So, like, you know, that's just how it goes.
Yeah.
But he's been pushing a new animated series to like all these studios, and he's been working on this show for, I think if I remember correctly, something like 7 years.
I think it was 8 years, actually.
8 years, damn.
Yeah.
So he's been working on this project, something he's really passionate about, and he made this big long post talking about what's going to happen with that project. And essentially what he had to do was he's just going to have to shelf the project. And the main reason why is because he went all these studios, you know, all over Hollywood and what have you. And basically, the main message he got back was, original content doesn't really sell anymore. So, like, what you have is really good, and we really like it, but it's not what's selling right now. So, you know, oh, good job, buddy, but sorry. Like, I hate that.
Yeah.
I really hate that that's kind of where a lot of people's mind is at, or mentality is at. And it's not to be at their fault either. Like, I do understand as a business, I totally get it. It's a risk to take on an original story compared to something that already has an established IP. I totally understand that. But still, the death of originality and creativity and being able to tell the stories that you want to tell, I just absolutely hate that. So I really wanted to have that collective mindset and build a team of individuals that really kind of like have that mentality of like, yo, fuck the algorithm, you know, fuck the death of originality. Let's tell the stories that we are passionate about and that we want to tell, and present that to an audience.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, for sure. One last thing before, in the interest of time, before we wrap up, you brought up the idea of Dune being a remake. And so I wanted to kind of like add on to that. So the death of originality isn't exactly an IP thing, for example. Like for example, the Marvels, it's a Marvel movie. That's what sold, not the movie itself. It's a Marvel movie. And that is what I think of when I think of the death of originality, is there wasn't really any originality in that movie. It was just the Marvel label. But then there's things like Dune and Gareth Edwards' Rogue One, where we we saw unique takes on a story that has already been told. Like for Rogue One, we saw the whole like getting of the Death Star plans that we all know about very well in episode 4 of Star Wars. But we got to see a unique story like surrounding that. And so those are original stories just in IP. It's just we want to hear your story. Basically, like we want to hear like what you want to hear and not have to worry about it being, you know, following the algorithm of things that people want to see. We want to release a movie or a short film or a story or something that you want to see, kind of, you know, like, you know what I mean? Like, so for example, like if we were to produce your short film, we would want you to like give us something that you are proud of. And like that you came up with on your own and all that kind of stuff. And we'll be like, fuck yeah, let's do it. Like, we don't want you to have to be like, oh yeah, superhero movies are popular right now, so I'm going to make a superhero movie. No, no.
Yeah.
Make something that you want to make.
Yeah. I don't even want to call it like the death of originality. Don't think it's fully the death of originality. Because it's also, there's a whole other argument. You'd be like, well, you know, everything under the sun's been done before. Every story's been told, every kind of, like, boom, boom, boom. And yes, that is true.
I disagree,
actually. I actually have a wonderful film teacher that back in the day, when it, like, my freshman year of college, he had this wonderful thing saying, originality is just hiding your sources.
Okay, I can get on top of that. Because I was going to really say, like, is. I disagree. Like, but because obviously everything is going to have some sort of inspiration.
Yes, so, no matter like, what. I mean, but even you can look at your favorite directors and see what they're influenced by. Like, like speaking on Denis Villeneuve. This is probably horrible because I am definitely like a film guy, but to say this is going to probably hurt a lot of people, so I'm so sorry. But I'd never seen Lawrence of Arabia.
Great movie.
And
you should watch it.
Amazing movie.
You should watch it.
I've seen part of it. I woke up one day and it was on my TV. It was like 2 o'clock in the morning. I woke up and it was randomly playing on my TV. I'm like, huh. But I watched that movie for like 30 minutes. Denis Villeneuve is so inspired by that movie.
Holy shit.
Like, I felt like I was watching Dune in some parts. I was like, oh,
the whole, like, Messiah thing, yeah.
I see what Denis was pulling from.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, shit. And that's not a bad thing at all.
On inspiration, there is a fantastic documentary called Spielberg, and it is about Steven Spielberg, and a lot of the stuff it goes to is his inspiration when making movies, and I think it is really interesting because none of his ideas are really original ideas. Like, for example, did you know that Indiana Jones was made because Spielberg was denied directing James Bond?
Really?
Yeah.
I actually didn't know that.
Steven Spielberg wanted to direct a James Bond movie, and he was denied. And then George Lucas was like, hey, I got an idea. Raiders of the Lost Ark.
That's crazy.
Yep.
Also, that would have been crazy if Spielberg actually did a James Bond movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
That would have been crazy.
Yeah. Damn. But yeah,
I'm kind of curious what a Spielberg James Bond movie would look like.
Pretty American, I feel like.
Very American.
But yeah. So yeah, in the interest of time, since we've been rambling on for about an hour, I think we should probably start wrapping things up. But that's just kind of like our whole get up is we want to bring creativity to the creatives. We want to help you. We want to teach you. All that kind of stuff. Our plans as of right now is to launch everything in 2025. So that will be, I'm trying to pull up my calendar here so I can get the exact dates. But website launch January 1st, midnight, be there or be square. Like we want we want that so you can start, you know, putting in what are they called, like propositions, if you want us to help you with something. And then I think it is January 3rd we want to post the first video. January 4th, my bad. And post the first video, which will be a tutorial by me on camera tracking, and then just go from there, and that will be the official launch. This podcast will be going up on
a year ago.
Yeah, so this podcast will be going up on Friday the 11th of October 2024. And this is just kind of a precursor, you know, like kind of getting people accustomed to what we're doing so that when when FTA comes out, you just kind of have an idea of what you're getting into. But furthermore, it'll be the first Friday of every month. So obviously this Friday, it'll be Friday the 11th. And then the next podcast will be November 1st. And then we'll keep going on there and then, you know, wrap it up on that last hurrah of 2024 until our official launch in 2025.
Yep. And again, just to kind of briefly touch us over the next couple episodes of this podcast, or I guess what you can quote unquote call the season one of the podcast.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, by when we're done, like come 2025, the podcast will still go on, but we'll just kind of being like season two, I guess.
Rebrand or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll still fuck the algorithm, but...
Yeah, it'll still be the same podcast, but what I really wanted to do with this podcast was really just kind of introduce ourselves, introduce the company, what if FTA is, what kind of like our whole mentality and our aspirations for it, but also start introducing you guys to some of the people that we have been working with and people that we're going to be working with, and just and just kind of introduce you guys to us.
So anyway, yeah, that about wraps things up. Make sure that you follow us on all of our socials. Those are up. Nothing is posted yet, but that'll be at fta.cltv on every platform: TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, if you use it for whatever reason. So yeah, follow us all of theirs. Obviously follow the podcast, subscribe to us on YouTube, FTA Collective, and yeah, we'll see you guys soon.
Heck yeah. Thank you, guys.